You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Hello, everybody. My name is Daryl.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us. Yes, hello. I forgot to play our intro then. As I say, my name is Daryl and welcome back to another Breadline brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on beautiful 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 a.m. on your dial or online 3cr.org.au. And I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the Wurundjeri people on the land which we are broadcasting from. A little bit off track coming up tonight. We interviewed Dash from the Renters and Housing Union, and I'll be talking about one of the calls I got last week. And don't forget, if you have problems with Centrelink or your job provider, give one of our volunteers a call at the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on 1800 289 848 between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday to Friday, or you can send in an email at ruwu.org.au. And when you call, we know your privacy is important, so if you call, you can be completely anonymous if you like, but we would like to know who your job provider and location is, so that way we can concentrate our efforts on any trouble spots. We may ask you for your phone number, email address and the suburb where you live, but that's about it. If you don't want to give us that information, that is completely fine. We are still happy to help you where we can. I remember one guy who emailed us included his CRN number. We don't really need that. Oh, and there's a bit of small print here, isn't there always? Any information given by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union volunteers cannot be taken as legal advice, which is understandable because the union is made up of people like you. We are not lawyers. Okay. Oh, hang on a minute. Hello? No, I did not have any sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky. Oh, where do these people come from? And you know when your little boy has grown up, when he comes out with the sheets off his bed saying, "It's okay, Mum, I can wash them." Anyway, let's go to an interview we recorded earlier with the Renters and Housing Union, and we'll see what they've got to say.
Hi, so welcome, Dash, to Breadline, the show from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union.
Hi, thanks for having me.
First of all, we'd love to hear about what the Renters and Housing Union is and where do you operate and, what's your main focus?
Yeah, sure. I'm the Renters' Rights Officer for the Renters and Housing Union. We're also known as RAHU. We are an entirely member-run union comprised of renters, public housing tenants, squatters, homeless people and owner occupiers, and we operate all throughout so-called Australia, and we do everything from making submissions to parliamentary inquiries all the way to supporting members through VCAT processes and campaigns for things like eviction moratoriums and education on renters' rights. So we do a whole lot of stuff and all across the continent.
Yeah, really inspiring. Yeah, particularly like the squatting, having been a squatter for many years. not necessarily in this country, but yeah, all this time period, but still really necessary to talk about squatting, I think, at this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are actually currently working with Purple Pingers and an organisation called Husk.
Yes.
On a public forum about squatting, actually. So it's on the 21st Husk. Of September at 12 p.m.
Ooh.
If anyone wants to come along, it's on all of our socials. So, yeah, it'll be a super interesting time.
Excellent. Right. So, yeah, they'll be really following that. Right. Excellent.
Yeah, but what can you just let us know what Husk is?
Well, yes. What was that acronym, Husk?
Husk, that is a housing and support community organisation. I don't know what exactly the acronym stands for, but they support women and gender diverse people experiencing homelessness.
Right.
So I don't know if it's an acronym, but it's very much about supporting gender marginalised people with homelessness and also family and domestic violence.
Right, excellent. Yeah, well, I mean, on this show, we're constantly talking about people coping with the job centres and all the unreasonable demands they make on people. And particularly, we talk about the instant cutoffs that people get where their payments are suspended and how that's just the worst thing to happen if that happens to be the day that you pay your rent. And That's why I think our two campaigns are very similar, because they're just all about trying to navigate these completely unwieldy, unfair systems.
Oh, absolutely. And look, I've never had an experience with a JSP like that, but when I was on youth allowance, I was cut off from Centrelink, you know, a number of times without any warning. And a couple of times it did really put me in jeopardy in terms of being able to pay my rent in my share house, and it puts a whole lot of pressure on your housemates as well. So
it's criminal how they get away with that, isn't it? Yeah, no warning.
Absolutely. And at the time, I didn't have enough money for phone credit often, so I'd have to like skip classes and go into the office to get the whole issue fixed up. And it was every single time, oh, it was a system glitch. Yep, I'll press a button and fix it up. So that experience was definitely quite traumatic to have happen a few times over my uni experience.
Yeah, it would have been.
And what other Centrelink experiences have you had that you might want to mention on the show?
Yeah, so including my time across uni, I also was briefly connected with a JSP who tried to take credit for the fact that I got a job straight out of uni. They were chasing me for ages for forms. But also working full-time means that my partner, who's disabled, is locked out of any ability to access payments because of the partner income test. Actually flows through when you're applying for rentals and things. The systems do not know how to deal with someone who like doesn't have an income and doesn't have a driver's license.
Yeah.
When the job provider was chasing you for details, did you know what your rights were at that time?
At that time, I didn't. I was actually a member of the Unemployed Workers Union, but I can't remember when I joined, and I'm still a Solidarity member.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't really know a lot about what my rights were in that situation. Thankfully, you know, because I had started full-time work, I wasn't dependent on the JSP sending through my paperwork for my payments and that sort of thing. So I was in a super lucky situation where I was only briefly connected with them. Like, I hadn't even gone into like an in-person interview with them. And then I started working and they said they were trying to take credit for
this happens all the time.
They were just chasing me that whole time. It was a bit funny, but I was lucky enough for it to be funny and not actually distressing.
Good on you for avoiding them.
You know,
and it's like it's gone to the point where even now, like, I haven't been on Centrelink for about 7-8 years. And when I get, you know, that email that says you have a new message in your MyGov inbox.
Oh, yes. Instant stress.
I still get like a panic attack because every time I'd ever had one of those while I was at uni, it meant that my payment had been cut off without warning and to no fault of my own.
Yeah. I don't like the way they put everything on MyGov now. Like, you know, what they want to tell you, why can't they just tell you that in an email?
It's a really weird system, isn't it? And they don't, like, all these systems, they either talk to each other really well and end up screwing you over because they'll pretend that you've got a debt, or they don't talk to each other at all, and that also screws you over for other reasons. So it's a lose-lose situation if you've ever been on Centrelink.
Well, I suppose that's sort of why we're here, and that's why we have the advice line, which operates at, you know, Monday to Friday and all those sort of things. And like you were saying about Rahu, we're completely member-run as well. So if people ring up for advice, they're not going to be talking to a bureaucrat who's paid quite well and will go home.
Absolutely. Yeah. And our Renters' Rights team, which as the Renters' Rights Officer, I sort of convene that team and we do similar sort of things. Like, we will take advice, usually in the form of like an email ticket. And basically, it's a form of mutual aid. We're not like running a service for a fee. We're really just helping out our comrades who are also struggling with real estate issues. You know, like, I've got a rental inspection tomorrow and I'm like scrambling to get everything fixed up in terms of this wild weather that we've been having.
For sure.
And so like everyone on that team is either currently a renter or has joined in to help out because they know what it's like. And I'm assuming that it's very similar with unemployed workers unions.
Yeah, for sure. Well, because we only have a half hour show on Wonderful 3CR, we'll have to probably stop talking now. But thanks so much for talking to us, Dash, and all power to Rahu. And that meeting that you mentioned about squatting, the 12th of September, did you say?
The 21st of September.
21st of September. And people can find that on the Rahu website.
That's right, yeah, and it'll be on our socials and probably on Purple Pinger's socials as well. And, yeah, hopefully we get a good showing to be able to, like, educate people more on squatting and, like, why it's a thing that people should be thinking about right now.
Yeah. So.
Okay, well, yeah,
seems like a good thing to look forward to.
Mm. Okay, well, bye from us.
Thanks so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Okay, thanks to Dash for a wonderful interview there. Now, I'd like to talk about a call that I got last week. A guy went in for his usual job provider appointment. This is job statewide in Johnson Street, Fitzroy. His consultant presented him with a form to sign. They said it was a form that he forgot to sign. But how can he forget to sign a form that he's never seen before? Anyway, his consultant was telling him that by signing that form, it allows them to put his name forward for any positions that may come up and for any courses or work for the Dole activity. Funny thing about that is what is in his job plan anyway. So he's signing the same thing twice, according to his consultant. In his job plan, it clearly states, follow up on job referrals and opportunities I am referred to by my provider. So why do they need another form basically saying the same thing? He glanced at it briefly and said, okay, I'll take it home and go over it then. But then his consultant told him he can't take it home and he has to sign it there and then. However, they did offer to let him go to another room so he could read it through thoroughly. Not good enough. Sometimes you want to take it home to show friends and or family to look over it with you. He then told his consultant that he will not sign it. Simple as that. There was no more said about it. But he could see by the look of his consultant's face that she was annoyed by his refusal. But she knew there was nothing she could do. This is what happens when you know your rights. When your job provider gives you something to sign, you never have to sign it straight away. They are supposed to give you a copy to take home and give you at least 2 days to go over it. As far as he could make out, only after glancing over it, he thinks it was basically a permission to release personal information form, which means if he gets a job, regardless of whether he or his job provider got it, they can then contact his employer to get any and all information about his employment there. Thankfully, this guy knew his rights, and if he didn't, he would have just signed the form thinking he had no choice, because his consultant certainly didn't tell him that he had that choice. Now, I've talked about this before, so just let me remind you, if your job provider gives you something to sign, you do not have to sign it straight away. Even if it's your job plan, they have to give you 2 days to let you take it home and read through it. That way you can show it to family and friends and talk about it. All right. Okay, well, I've messed up my times here. I've got a spare 4 minutes here. I'll tell you what, look, I've got the home number of Centrelink's CEO. Let's give him a call and see what he's doing about these long wait times when you call Centrelink.
Welcome to Services Australia. You have called the Centrelink Employment Services line.
Please hold and an operator will be with you shortly. Our customer service operators are currently busy attending to other calls. Please hold and we will be with you as soon as we can.
Anyway, let's pick up on my call on Centrelink. I called them this morning. Let's see if they've taken my... No, they're gone. Oh, I don't know. All right. I'll just talk about what a lot happens is job providers often ask for pay slips. If you're lucky enough to get a job, your job provider is going to put the pressure on you to give them your pay slips. But just remember, you're under no obligation to give that to them at all. And in fact, a lot of people that have called me while I'm working as a consultant for the Australian Unemployed Workers Union complained about this a lot. First thing I say is, well, how did the job provider find out you got a job? And they said, I told them. I then say, well, there's your first mistake. So just because you score yourself a job, you don't need to race back to the job provider and tell them you got a job. The only people you need to tell is Centrelink. And all they want to know is how much you earned and how many hours you did to earn that money. So basically, if you get a job, as far as your job provider is concerned, keep your mouth shut. Tell them nothing, because there's nothing to say you have to. Because there's nothing in the regulation, rules or guidelines that says participants must provide their pay slips to the provider. I'm just reading this from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. I might mention them again. The Australian Unemployed Workers Union takes calls from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday to Friday. If you call them on 1-800-289-848, or you can email them at auww.org.au. And as I said earlier, you can be as forthcoming with your details, or you can be completely anonymous. It doesn't matter. It's completely up to you. We're still happy to help whichever way you go. Okay, so that's it from Breadline for this week. I'll catch you again at 6 o'clock next Monday on beautiful 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial, or online at 3cr.org.au.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.